Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. My name's Cliff.
Cliff. And I'm Brett.
Can you say Brett. It? Yep, good. How are you doing?
Yep, good. I caught on there, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You worked out what was happening.
I got what you wanted from us.
But have I ever got what I want from you? I don't know.
Always. You're always fulfilled, aren't you? That's the thing about our relationship, isn't it, Cliff? Mm-hmm. You're always fulfilled and I'm always left wanting.
Well, yes, that's the way it works. I would say at once satisfied, fulfilled, mm-hmm. and smug.
Smug afterwards, eh?
Yeah.
they're the three main things, isn't it, that you are? That's true. What would you say the three main things that I am? Unfulfilled? Aghast.
Lazy.
Lazy.
can't lay that at you anymore, can I?
The opposite of lazy.
Slick. I would say yes, slick.
Slick.
Vibrant. And radioactive.
Yes, I quite like that. I'm a new superhero or something. I'm as slick, I'd say a Tom Selleck.
No, I would say a slick, probably. He's a real gigolo, Tony Slattery.
He's not a real gigolo.
No, he's in a sitcom. I'm sure he had his own sitcom where he was a gigolo. It was called that, and he wasn't. Or it wasn't called that.
It was called the Gigolo, and he wasn't the Gigolo.
No,
it just messed up the title.
So what, you don't hear that word very much, do you?
What, Tony Slattery?
No, well, he's had his troubles. We know that.
He's had his troubles exactly.
No, Gigolo, not since Slattery and Richard Gere popularized it. Fell out of fortune.
Still out of fashion,
Brett,
the jiggler.
I've been on the cans. I'll tell you now.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that, because the last 2 weeks you've been sipping mineral water.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But today, no, I've been sipping the lagers.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to see you back. I was a little bit worried about you, actually.
You know,
when you don't drink and people worry about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something wrong with you. There's got to be something wrong with them.
What are you drinking there? Meths again, is it?
No, I'm back on the Argus.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you drinking?
I've been put to the Big Boo shop, so I've got my favourite, the Filipino San Miguel Light. So,
when you say the Big Boo shop, do you mean Gurnham's?
Just like this.
No, it's a spa somewhere now.
Horsley Hill Road, that one.
Aye, uh-huh. Unfortunately for everybody. I used to love Gurnham's.
Gurnham's, yeah.
Used to have a fine array of out-of-date beers for incredibly cheap prices. It was wonderful.
It was like the booze equivalent of Supertech, wasn't it?
It was. It most certainly was. And it was like, just as I had started drinking, I was about 17, 18, about that. And my dad used to take us for a wander round. We used to spend hours in there, me and my dad.
Not that big.
We did. He used to go, have you seen, Brett, you seen this? Some of the African lager or something like that.
Oh, well, great memories.
Great memories.
Great memories. So, Brad, have you watched the Get Back?
Well, no, I haven't. No, I haven't. I haven't had time to watch any. It's the first one on for 2.5 hours.
I mean, the whole thing's on for 8.5 hours. There's only 3 episodes. So yes, that would make sense. Yeah.
I haven't watched it. You're not going to spoil it for us, are you?
Brett, I don't want to spoil anything, but they split up.
Oh, shit.
I started watching it, found it a little bit annoying, if I'm honest.
Did you?
Some of it's amazing. Hearing them talk and the stuff they're talking about is good. I think Ringo and George Harrison are the two best ones in it at the moment. Mm-hmm. Paul McCartney's they're like talking. George Harrison keeps saying, essentially, fucking hell, this is a stupid idea, isn't it? And Ringo's just being himself.
Yeah.
John Lennon, I think this is his heroin period. He doesn't really say anything. He's just sitting like grinning.
That's not good.
And every time all of them are talking, McCartney's like, just starts playing a song in the hope that they'll start playing music.
Along with them.
It's a bit annoying. I don't know how many times over the course of 8.5 hours I can hear him try and nail all of me family wandering lonely, I don't really look like you. Like, that's all I've heard. I've only watched 45 minutes and it's pretty much constantly that.
Because Luke wants to come on and talk about it, I think.
I've only watched the first bit. I'm sure there's loads there's already loads of stuff worth talking about from the little conversations that they're having.
You've watched 45 minutes, Cliff. Is there any revelations within that 45 minutes? I don't want you to tell us, you know, what they are, but is there anything that you didn't know about?
I wouldn't say there's revelations, but I think you're obviously... The Let It Be film and the stuff that's been written about it from what's been out there so far is obviously painted it in quite broad strokes, where I would say like there's a lot more nuance to how things develop. I've only watched up to day 2 of the rehearsals. I don't know if it shows you every fucking day. basically, the first 20 minutes or something is like a run through of their career up to that point.
Yeah. So,
like a highlights reel kind of thing. And that's like, you know, no matter how many times I've seen those clips, I think there's a couple of photos in there I hadn't really seen before. But how many times you've seen those clips, it's amazing. Like, it goes from like meeting each other to there 10 years essentially.
I switched it on to make sure that I could obtain it in a nefarious way, and I can. So I watched 5 minutes of it. It was obviously what you're saying there. It was the quarrymen at the start and stuff like that, pictures of the quarrymen and things. But I was going to watch it with Lennon, but I don't think he's got the staying power if it's on for like 8 hours. I don't think he's going
to
watch.
I don't know. I think like if you've got to be a big fan to sit through all of that, right? Which we are, obviously, so I will. But hopefully it's not just him. It's not just McCartney trying to get them to sing that song over and over again. There's Ringo starts playing a song called Going Back to Carolina or something on the piano. You know, he starts playing that honky tonk song on the piano in the Let It Be film. I think he must do a lot of that.
That's all he does. Good.
It's fascinating, but I've only watched a little bit. And I started watching instead. There was something on BBC Four about Alan Hull from Lindisfarne. Sam Fender basically a documentary about him. Presented by Sam Fender. It's quite good.
Right.
Basically said, I love Lindisfarne and everybody says Alan Hull's great, but I realised I only know 4 of their songs or 5 of their songs. I didn't really know anything about him or like their albums and stuff. So
It's about the same as us.
Yeah. So now I don't have to.
Well, that's
but it was really good.
Good on Sam.
Really good. A lot about no, like obviously setting No Shields and Newcastle and all of that, and obviously Mr. Neil is in there as a talking head.
So that is he? Well, I think I'll watch that.
I would watch that. I mean, it's on iPlayer. That's on iPlayer. Mm-hmm. That was on BBC Four last Saturday, I think, or last Friday. That was that was really good. So I watched both of those.
I'm watching that Midnight Mass thing. Me and the wife's watched the first three episodes. So oh, that's good. I like it. It's very Stephen King, isn't it? So
yeah, it is.
I like it.
I feel like it's not a massively original idea, but not that it has to be. There's some good performances. No, the priest guy is good, isn't he?
He's mint.
From
Legion. He's absolutely good. Class, yeah. I mean, at one point he stands up and gives a sermon. It's a cute rousing sermon.
Going. So they are good bits. I think I just got bored of it. The longer it went on, I was like, Jesus Christ, can we just find out what's happening here? It started really well.
Hey, Cliff, did I ever tell you about the time we were invited onto an Iron Maiden podcast? Do you know about that?
We as in me and you.
Yes, because of our northeast accents. Apparently, an Iron Maiden guitarist is from Hartlepool. So, you know, obviously we would have to audition and see who was the best, but it would be me. So, Wayne's Iron Maiden podcast, who follows with. It's good, actually, if you've ever listened. If you're an Iron Maiden fan.
I don't know anything about them, really.
I don't really.
The number of the Beast.
Yeah, yeah. I know about Eddie.
I was going to say, and is that thing off the album cover called Eddie?
Yeah, he's called Eddie, yeah. But yeah, we're invited on in a sort of Athletic Old Men style sort of thing, pretend to be this guitarist. Janik Gears, I think he's called.
Okay.
You ever heard of him?
No.
From Hartlepool.
I know nothing about any of these.
So we're invited on to that. So if there's any Iron Maiden fans out there, you know, give a listen to Wayne's podcast.
Yeah, and tell us some information about the band so we can go on it.
Well, I said that we didn't have the time to go on it, which is true, because we've hardly got the time to come on this, haven't we?
I don't know. It's like, it's a highlight of my week, but we have to, like, proper set it aside now, don't we? Now you're grasping at that.
I know. And we got a review on the iTunes. We asked for one.
A good one?
We got one, yeah. Well, 4 stars we got from some anonymous person put that on. But that's all right.
Did it say anything?
Yeah. That's why it's
anonymous. Just in and out. 4 stars, in and out.
In and out, no 4 stars. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
4 stars. I mean, if you were in and out and you received 4 stars off a lovely lady, you'd be quite happy with that, wouldn't you?
So, Brett, we're going to talk about something that you're very, obviously, keen on. And I can see you're wearing a very flashy Stephen King T-shirt. And also, you've done your hair a little bit like a rocker, haven't you?
Yes, both those things are true. Just for you, of course. There you go. I'm fulfilling you again, aren't I?
Also.
What have you done in return?
I've got a warm glow inside.
Absolutely nothing. You haven't even made an effort, have you? You've just got all drunk about the giver. But yeah, but like the giver would like a bit of giving themselves, wouldn't they?
Receiving.
Like a bit of receiving. Okay. So there you go. Can't just be all about you, you know.
You'll get what's coming to you, all right?
you'll get what you're given. That's what you're going to say, isn't it? In the style of an angry dad.
Yeah.
See, your personality's going to the fore, isn't it? You'll get what you're given.
All right then. So tell us what it is, Brett.
We watched a TV series called Nightmares and Dreamscapes, and the one that we watched was something called You Know They've Got a Hell of a Band. So it's based on short stories by Stephen King. Which is also called Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
Is that
as well.
One book of short stories?
Yes, one book. It's like a collection of short stories and stuff like that. Yeah, and they're mad. This is all these stories. I love them because they're absolutely mad. Very much like this one. It's it shows off King's imagination, I think. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All the stories, because they're about various things. So one of them's about a finger that's coming out of a sink that drives someone mad, right? Another one's about a pair of chattery teeth. Do you know what? You know, them wind up teeth that eat people. Stuff like that, just mad ideas. It's just imagination's kind of running wild. But in this one, it's about a couple who are on a road trip in Oregon who get lost and wander into a small town inhabited by dead rock and roll legends.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. So I thought you'd like this one because of the rock and roll element.
Entirely confused by it.
Yes.
I think I quite like the story, but I have to admit, I don't think it's a very good TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't fancy watching anymore, but I probably would read the books.
Yeah. It's very American sort of its time, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's of its time. It's 15 years old. I thought I started watching it and I said to Jane, I feel like this must have been made about a year after Twin Peaks came out, because it felt very enthralled to Twin Peaks, and it's like, oh, it's a bit strange going on. You don't really know what's happening.
Yeah.
But no, it's about fucking 15 years after Twin Peaks as well. So I've got no idea where it came from. I just think, I don't know. I didn't really like the style of it.
Did you not? I didn't mind that. I think it always helps if you've read the story first. You know what I mean? Because the story's in your head, you know what I mean? Yeah. And this is just somebody's sort of vision, some director's vision of that particular story and stuff like that. So I've got the story in my head, which, you know, is obviously much better because it's by Stephen King himself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just a fun thing. It's just not taking itself too serious or anything, the story. Because like I say, the plot is that there's a couple and they're like a normal married couple. The husband sort of, he's insistent he knows where he's going. And the wife's like, you don't know where you're going. You're going to get lost. And he's like, no, I'm a man. I do know where I'm going.
I think they laid that on a bit thick. Like, she was like, you need to reverse. And he was like, reverse is just another word for going backwards. So like, yep. Yep. Correct.
That's true.
And then about a minute later, he said something else like very similar. Like, one man's something is another man's whatever. Or one woman's lost is another man's wanderlust or something.
That's right, yes.
And I was like, I think you can like stop saying these kind of things now. maybe they're word for word from the book, I don't know, but or from the story.
I can't remember that, but it's a possibility.
But I think what, like I say, I did like the idea of the story. And you know me, I love rock and roll. I love all of those guys that are in it. But I thought the first quarter of an hour they're just driving and she's like, you go the wrong way. It's like, I know where I'm going.
Yeah,
it's for ages before they get to the place.
It does seem to be for quite a while, doesn't it?
There's a couple of little surreal things in that bit,
because she falls asleep in the car, which is, you know, the dream that the book's called Nightmare, My Nightmares and Dreamscape. So is this a nightmare? Do you know what I mean? That type of thing's going on. But yeah, I mean, it does seem to take a little while for them to get to the town, which is called Rock and Roll Heaven.
Yeah.
Which is a great name, isn't it? And it's a song by the Righteous Brothers as well. Have you heard the song?
No, I don't think I have.
No? So the song, because I listened to it, I wasn't aware of this song at all until after I, you know, did a bit of research for what we're talking about. So it's basically a song which has a bit like, you know, Night Shift by the Commodores. Yeah. Where it's got like, but it's got the names of all like the sort
Marvin.
Of rocks. Marvin Gaye and stuff like that. So it's a very similar thing, but it's like Janis Joplin instead. Okay. They've added bits with Elvis and stuff like that and Otis Redding. And so it's the Righteous Brothers doing that type of thing.
Okay.
It's all right. It doesn't sound like the Righteous Brothers, though.
I suppose it was them trying to be hip.
So
you wanted to watch it because of the music, and obviously I love rock and roll stuff. And like you mentioned a few times when we've been talking about Stephen King stuff, Stephen King loves music, and there's always references to music and stuff in his books. Uh-huh. And obviously this one is essentially just one short story just about a chance to write a story about those people, I suppose.
Yeah, I think what he said was he was like, he was sort of fascinated by like the creepiness of like the high death rate in rock stars.
Yeah.
And he wanted to write a story about that. Do you know what I mean? So that's what the story's about, because this couple gets to rock and roll heaven, and like the people in that particular town, some of them seem like odd people, almost like drugged people.
Yeah.
They all stay at the car and stuff like that. Yeah. But the rest are like dead rock stars. So we've got Roy Orbison, who I think is pretty good, the Roy Orbison
He
one.
Is, but I felt bad because I think Roy Orbison's like meant to be one of the nicest men ever, isn't he? And obviously he's sinister in this. So I felt a
with
bit
Stephen
bad
King, isn't it?
Roy.
So there's going to be an evil sort of twist. These rock stars aren't going to be the nice people that we think they are. Although I think that he could have gone a lot further with how mean they are type thing. Do you know what I mean? I think he hasn't done that out of respect, because he thinks highly of these people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could have been more gory, for example. The rock stars could have been more sinister. They weren't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bit eerie, isn't it? Like,
it's just creepy.
That really happens. It's just got a creepy, like, it's just a sense of unease that they're in this town, and all of a sudden they're like, hang on, is that not Janis Joplin, or is that not, as if they'd fucking, is that Ricky Nelson? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Of all of the people, Ricky Nelson, he was pretty big, but
It's bigger than you think. I think Ricky Nelson, you know, in the 50s
I like his songs. That's all I'm saying. Just think he's. Uh-huh. I just thought he was a bit, but not. Obviously, he's dead. So there was that. I would have had a Richie Valens, or maybe the Big Bopper. Maybe.
I think in the book, the Big Boppers are at the concert at the end.
Oh, is he okay?
Yeah. Uh huh. So he's on at the end. So yeah, they go to a diner and they get a Coke, and they realize that, you know, the people who are working there or whatever, the waitress is Janis Joplin, who's got a very annoying voice and laugh.
Although, like, I don't think I really like Janis Joplin, and I hate every time I ever see anything where somebody is
pretending to be
Janis Joplin. Oh, it's always really cringy, I think. Like, I don't like it. Don't like it.
I don't think. Did you really speak like that? I don't think you did.
I don't think so. I don't know.
So strange. There's another waitress who warned them to try and leave the town or whatever. She gives them a napkin to say, you know, get out while you can, type thing. And obviously, you know, they're starting to realize that things are very strange, because they are actually the rock stars who they think that they look like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who comes in? We've got Joplin, we've got Nelson.
Ricky Nelson.
Buddy Holly as well. Yeah. Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison. And outside we've got two outside as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Ronnie Van Zant. Yes. Yeah, Dwayne Ullman.
Why are those two? I mean, they're random ones to have in, aren't they? Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even I kind of thought it would be all rock and rollers, and then it's like a mix. And then there's a little bit of Jimi Hendrix is there for a second.
He's when they're trying to escape the town, Jimi Hendrix has got like one of his hippie vans or whatever, and he's stopping them from leaving, isn't he? Because they do eventually sort of escape by running down Ricky Nelson, don't they?
Who just kind of
reanimates, isn't he? Like the Terminator or something.
Yeah. So, Brett, like, obviously you know a lot more of the Stephen King stuff than me. Is like the car and odd to Christine, and obviously there's rock and roll playing in Christine and the car and all of that. Is this all tied in with the things?
Not really. Not really. A lot of Stephen King is connected and stuff like that. I mean, mainly the Dark Tower books did sort of all that and tied everything together. Not necessarily this particular story. I guess it's just Stephen King's just gone, I admire these rock stars or whatever. I want to write a short story about it, and nobody can tell us that I can't, type thing. Because his imagination is just so brilliant. It's just a brilliant idea, isn't it? It's not my favourite short story by Stephen King by any stretch or anything like that. I thought you'd get a kick out of it, I guess, because
I like Rockstars. I like all of that bit. What do you think of the people in it?
The guy, Clark, is Stephen Weber. So he was in the Shining TV sort of mini series. He played
in loads Jack of things, Harrison, isn't he? He's one of those guys that he's in loads of shows. Like you can switch your telly on any day and you'll see him in a show.
I mean, he's definitely more famous in America, isn't he? Because he was like in a sitcom, I think, which was pretty big. And I think it's called Wings or something like that.
Yeah, he's in Wings. And I think he's in this like a kind of long running CIS kind of show, I think.
Is he? He's definitely recognizable in America. I think he's in this country would be more recognizable for The Shining, if anybody's seen that.
I've never seen that, so tell us a little bit about that. I saw it on IMDb that he was in that.
Well, obviously it's no secret that King doesn't like the Kubrick version of The Shining. He hates it because he's changed so much of it and stuff like that. So because of that, King wanted to do his own, so basically wrote a mini series, and he's in it. So the main difference with that is that Stephen Weber isn't crazy at the start. Do you know what I mean? He slowly goes crazy.
Okay.
So it's definitely more elements of what's in the book. So it's a mallet that he's got instead of a baseball bat, stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's a lot more faithful to the book because King wrote it himself type thing because he hates the Kubrick one. So the book is much, much better. It's not my favorite version. I prefer the Kubrick one to the Stephen King.
It's a masterpiece, but if it's not.
But the book's amazing.
Faithful to the story, then you can see why he would want something.
Yeah.
Does he even acknowledge that it's a good film? He doesn't, does he?
He hates it. Because the book is about him. Stephen King was an alcoholic.
Yeah. There's a lot of these stories are about, essentially not him, but somebody of those.
Well, he's always in he is all the characters, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is all of them because they're all from him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any character in a Stephen King story, mainly the main one, is normally a writer. Mm-hmm. So he's always a writer. Even Jack Torrance is writing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's why he goes to the Overlook Hotel and stuff like that because he wants time to write. So there's always Stephen King putting himself in his books. And he even does actually put himself in the Dark Tower books. He's a character in the books.
Oh, does he?
Which is massively long-winded and stuff. But Stephen King had... Stephen King nearly died. Someone ran him over, right? He was walking and somebody ran him over, someone who was drunk.
Okay.
So he's in the book as well. This guy who nearly killed Stephen King, he writes him into the book. And obviously the accident that Stephen King had, that's also in the Dark Tower books.
Hang on. So the Dark Tower, but
yes.
Is there not a film about...
The film, you can just ignore that. Right.
The film is some gunslinger that goes through time and space, isn't it?
The film is nothing like any of the books.
Well, it doesn't sound like it is.
At all. It's not at all. It really isn't. The books are like a massive sprawling world that's bringing all of other Stephen King's books together and linking them together. And it's brutal, and it's like, you know, it's like 18 plus, like Game of Thrones on acid type stuff. And that film was like a kids film where it didn't incorporate any of the ideas from the books, apart from there was a gunslinger and there was a boy and there was the man in black. That's it. So if you want to know anything about the Dark Tower and you think it's that film, it's not at all.
All right. Fair enough. I don't think I was going to watch it because I remember seeing the trailer for it and it looked fucking terrible. Yeah. So I didn't.
I went the pictures to see it. I went the pictures to see it before I read the books.
Okay.
So I didn't really have an idea about the books or whatever, but honestly, the books are some of the best books that I've ever read, and I think some of the best that King's written as well. But we're getting away from this story, aren't
we? Well, there's not really much happens in the story, is it? Like, I quite like that the musicians are in it. It's quite a neat idea. The husband, bickering husband and wife, think she's quite good. He's recognisable. I think he's a kind of charismatic actor, isn't he? But I don't think this character is very charismatic. He's a bit of a dick, I think. And yeah, they get to this town, and he's obviously, he likes rock and roll. So, like, again, he's like, there's a Stephen King bit of Stephen King in this guy. He wants to go and listen to the music and get rock and roll heaven. He's like, oh, this is going to be great.
I'll go pick up some souvenirs or something.
It does. The wife goes, "Where's the smoke?" And he's, and I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "There's no smoke."
Yeah, where's the smoke from the chimneys?
Like,
well,
weird thing to pick up on. The fact that it looks like the 1950s is probably more weird.
That's true. I mean, the premise of the whole thing is because this is where dead rock stars go, you know, when they die, whatever, rock and roll heaven. But they need to entice an audience, don't they? So they need the rock stars, they need an audience to play to. So that's what these rock stars are trying to do. They're trying to keep, you know, the people in the town because they're the audience.
Yeah.
That's the idea of it. Because there's no use Elvis playing, who's the mayor of this town, isn't
it? Yeah.
Which I like.
Otis is the cop.
He's the police chief. Otis Redden. So there's no point in these like wonderful rock stars living in this town called Rock and Roll Heaven if we've got nobody to play to. So they entice people in.
So are the people that end up there dead or just lost?
No, they're not dead. The rock stars are. As you see, there's one or two gory bits where Elvis has got no eyes and Janis Joplin spews up maggots, which is good. But no, the people... The times are a bit different.
After Ricky Nelson slaps her on the ass.
Yes, that's right. Good old Ricky.
There's like a great shot of like his hand like slapping her ass, and then all of a sudden she spews the maggots out.
That's true.
So I think it's like, I think I didn't like the music. The music was really overbearing, I think. Signpost, not the music as in the rock and roll music, but the incidental music, like the score for the thing was.
I think the only actual song that they had was Pretty Woman, wasn't it? The only actual song. Whereas if you were going to do it properly, you would have to have the real songs, wouldn't you? The other thing that I didn't particularly like about this is that the rock stars didn't really look like the people who were supposed to be. So Elvis didn't really look like Elvis, did he? Do you know what I mean? He wasn't the best Elvis. No. The Hendrix one wasn't the best one either.
I think I don't mind that, like, unless they're really trying to make them look like them, but I just assumed they were like, they just were happy for them just to have a vague resemblance. If they were trying to make them look like them, then they really failed. I just assumed they were like, oh, we'll make them look a bit like them, and then, you know, people will know what
that's
we're
where. That's where, if you read the short story, it's much better because, you know, it's saying in the book that it's Elvis, and in your head, you're imagining Elvis, you're not
I guess so.
Some random sort of guy.
Actually, they obviously tried to make Janis Joplin look like Janis Joplin, so maybe they do think they look like them. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they have tried. I think they've tried, but yeah. No, not the best sort of lookalikes in the world or
whatever. What did you think of the concert?
The concert? Well, again, it's that thing, isn't it? It was almost like the music was, like you said, it wasn't great, was it?
Yeah, so
you try and convince people. There's a believability aspect of it, I think, which was missing. You know, in your head, if you're reading the story, like I say, that's not there. You do, because it's all in your head. But with this, the music was almost like elevator music you know, if you're in a shopping centre or whatever, that type of stuff, which takes you out.
I think it was like you said, it's very American. It felt a little bit like, it was like, it obviously was like a cable kind of American show. It's clearly not an HBO budget or anything like that.
No.
It hasn't got those production values. And I think the UK might not produce television to the quality of like the best of American telly. But I think there is a baseline that is always consistently good. Not every show is good, but I think there's a quality of television making in the UK that things adhere to. I think, you know, if the worst thing you see in the UK is like Doctors or whatever, then happy days, because there's stuff a million times worse than that on American TV that
has been
running for like 30 years. And I think like often you kind of say, well, British telly's shit compared to American, but that's comparing it to the very, very best American TV shows. Like, like this is the standard of production that you see most of the time, and pretty poor. I think you're right. Like it doesn't carry the story home.
It doesn't do the story justice. I don't think. Yeah, because of the sort of elements of what we've just said there, what you've just said, the music and stuff like that, it takes it out, because you know that, you know, these magnificent artists or whatever wouldn't be.
Well, I imagine it would be the greatest thing ever, wouldn't it? Like, you
would. Of course it would. And that's
I think like, that's the thing.
It's a fantasy element of it, isn't it? And even Clark at the end is like, he's loving it. He's accepted his fate.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because you would stay, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course you would. You'd love
so
it.
So that's, you're watching this and you're like, well.
Stack shelves. Exactly. So I think that's the bit that is missing. The fact that some of the actors don't particularly look like the people that they're supposed to be and stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't have.
And anything with rollerbladers in is bad. And there's rollerbladers at the start.
Oh, there's like she has that little dream as well.
Somebody
smacks her on the ass in that.
They do indeed, yes. And there's the finger from, you know, the I told you about the story with the finger in the sink or whatever. It's in like the diner, isn't it? On that thing that you twist around the menu bit. So there's a finger bit in there.
I skipped over that, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I didn't know there were
but what I would say is, you know, I like all Stephen King short stories and stuff like that. It's not my favourite one, this one, by any stretch of the imagination, but I just think his imagination's just great.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to write a story about dead rock stars. Fuck it.
Yeah, and I think it's this kind of like the way that you might hate The Shining, but everybody knows that book. More people know that book because of that film. I guess that's a problem for him, because that's not what the book's about in his eyes. But this is one of the things I've always thought I don't really like Stephen King is because of the TV movie kind of standard of the adaptations of them. Like, I always just think of Tommyknockers.
There's no doubt that I think the stuff like that has like damaged, especially not so much now. I wouldn't say.
But I think
in the 90s, when the Tommyknockers and the Langoliers, which has just got terrible CGI and stuff. And the Langoliers is actually a good story, you know? It's a good story.
Well, I think the thing is, we were saying, the standard of TV is so good now that even the ones that aren't great, like that series we were talking about, I watched what's that one about the town?
Midnight Mass.
No, but like the actual Stephen King ones. There's like The Stand and stuff like that.
Like, The Stand and like Salem's Lot and stuff.
Yeah, like even if the shows aren't great, like actually they look great. The production values are good. So they're at least the stories are getting the treatment that they deserve, even if at the end of the day you don't really enjoy the show or whatever. At least they look good, they've got good actors in them, the production values are good, and instead of like you say, it doesn't cheapen them anymore. They're definitely not cheapened.
Yeah.
They're made in the same standard that you would make any other TV show. So I think maybe his reputation has been rehabilitated a little bit for those who aren't massive fans.
I mean, the where The Stand and stuff goes wrong, because I watched it and it's nowhere near as good as the book, definitely not. It's nowhere near as good as the previous sort of TV show either, which is a strange thing. But it's the story, isn't it? If you've got Stephen King, right, why change stuff? Why do stuff different? What you like with the Dark Tower? There's like books upon books. There's loads of books. What you've got so much information, and they just abandoned all that. Mm. It looked good, but it was just a soulless, empty thing. Do you know what I mean? So that's the opposite of what you're saying, type of thing. It's a story. That's the most important thing, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're faithful to the books, and I think why Stephen King doesn't like The Shining as well is, you know, the Kubrick one has deviated a lot from the story, and everybody loves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it wouldn't exist if it wasn't for his book. I mean, at the time The Shining came out, people didn't like the film either. Mm. But now, obviously, they do. Do you know what I mean?
You think like It, like the latest It, mm-hmm. like it looks great. It's obviously a good story. Like mm-hmm. when you get that, you know, like great, perfect, it
uh-huh.
works.
But But it's funny that only the first part works with the kids. People didn't like the second
watching
one.
I'm bothered watching the second one.
Uh-huh. And there's like mad stuff going on in it as well. It's like cosmic stuff, like cosmic horror and things mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, there's mental stuff that goes on in that book, like really mental stuff, which is unfilmable, which they wouldn't be able to put on. But it's Stephen King, he throws shit in. If he thinks, do you know what I mean? If he has an idea, he throws it in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's all, these books are all the better for that, I think.
Because you never know what you're going to get.
King. No, I'm not. I'm going to quiz you about dead rock stars.
Oh, right. All right.
So that's either you've got to tell us how they died, these particular rock stars. You probably won't know that, so I'll probably tell you.
Okay.
Do you know someone called Randy Rhoads?
He's a guitarist.
He was a guitarist with Ozzy Osbourne and the Quiet Riots.
Okay, yeah. I've heard him. You know, I've heard of him.
Uh-huh.
But
you know
yeah.
How he dies?
Choked on his own vomit. Sounds like it's tragic.
You're going to say that for everyone. no. He was on tour with Ozzy Osbourne and he got into a plane with someone who was flying the plane who wanted to buzz the tour bus. So fly really close to the tour bus and wake Ozzy Osbourne and all the rest of them up. And he flew too close to the air tour bus, crashed into the tour bus, took the side off it, and then burst into flames.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Like, he deserves to die.
Well, idea. He wasn't flying the plane. I think
it was
still
a stupid idea. It was his idea.
It wasn't his idea. I don't think it was. I think it was the pilot's idea.
Okay.
From what I've read,
I take it back.
Yeah, poor Randy. Do you know someone called Cliff Burton?
Is he in that Shadows or something? Or
no, he was the original Metallica bass player. So he was the original bass player in Metallica. So you don't know who he is. It involves a tour bus again and and fate.
Okay.
I'd say.
Tour bus and fate.
And a drunken driver.
Okay. Did he miss the tour bus leaving and ran after it and he got ran over? Something like that?
It's a good guess. No, Metallica didn't like the tour bus. They didn't like the beds, the bunks or whatever. So they all drew cards, right, to see who would sleep where. And what happened was he lost. So he was like on the top bunk or whatever. The tour bus driver was drunk, crashed. He got flung out the window and the tour bus landed on top of him.
What the fuck?
I know. Okay. Not very nice. All awful. Jeff Buckley. I know you know who he is.
Mm-hmm. He used to go to school, I think, didn't he?
Did he? I thought he played for QPR.
He's a decent right back from what I remember.
He went for a swim
and he never came back.
That's true, yes. Was there anything strange about that? Do people say anything about it, do you think, Cliff?
It was the same way as his dad died, I think.
Was it? I don't know.
Something like
I don't
that.
Know about that.
Something well, like that.
What I have here is that he reportedly sort of he predicted his own death in one of his songs.
Okay.
So there's a song called Dream Brother.
Yeah.
With the line "Asleep in the sand with the ocean washing over me," because apparently he just went swimming in all his clothes.
Who was it? But it was in a river, wasn't it? Wasn't it in the sea?
It was in a river, yeah. Wolf River Harbour in Memphis, it was.
Okay. Yeah, there's something about his dad either dying at the same age or something like that. Tim mm-hmm. Huckley was his dad, and yeah, he died at the same age or something. Can't remember. Yeah. I'm not like, I quite liked Jeff Buckley, but I suppose we weren't American or the right age to really get into all the mythology around him and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's. I mean, I haven't listened to a lot, to be honest. I mean, I know Hallelujah and all that stuff. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I haven't really listened to it a lot. Do you know the strange circumstances in which Sam Cooke died?
Yes.
What other than?
I believe he was shot by mm-hmm. the landlady or manager of a yeah. motel who was... And he was running down a corridor, mm-hmm. chasing after a lady, I believe, or maybe not.
Lady.
Let's not go down a prostitute lady.
Yes.
And yeah, apparently he's dressing gown was open. He had nothing underneath, and he had a raging hard on, I think.
Well, there you go. You've answered that one. I've got he died while wearing a sports coat and one shoe. After the prostitute stole his clothes. Which is always a good... That would be my attire of choice, you know, I think, if that was to go.
Do you know anything about Bobby Womack and Sam Cooke?
No. Are you going to tell us?
Yes. So... Linda Womack
mm-hmm.
was the daughter of soul singer Sam Cooke. She's mm-hmm. one half of Womack and Womack, the teardrops on the dance floor.
Yeah, so, I like that song.
She's the eldest child of Sam Cooke, born 1953. Parents married in 1958.
Ooh.
When she was 11, her father was killed. Soon after, her mother married Cooke's protege, Bobby Womack. In 1970, Barbara shot at him after she discovered he was apparently sexually abusing Linda. According to Womack, Linda never spoke to her mother again after that incident. It's a big old mess, basically. She married,
yeah, I think
then married Bobby Womack's brother, Cecil Womack, who was the Womack uh-huh. and Womack. What a mess that is. That's not a good combination.
There's a lot of Womacks, isn't there? It's confusing us. It's definitely yeah. confusing us. Well, I've got one more for you, okay. And it's Graham Parsons. Do you know who Graham Parsons is?
I do know who Graham Parsons is. He's a mm-hmm. country singer, supposed inventor of country rock. I don't think so.
So he was a guitarist with the Birds and
he was in the
Flying Burrito Brothers.
Flying Burrito Brothers was his band. He was in a band called mm-hmm. the International Submarine Band before he joined the Birds.
Mm-hmm.
He's friends with the Stones, so Exile on Main Street.
So there you go. You do know.
Uh-huh.
But
he
died of an overdose, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, a lot of rock stars die from. But that's not the strange thing.
The strange thing is body being stolen.
Yes, that's it. So do you know what happened with regards to that?
His roadie or something? He wanted to be buried in Joshua Tree. So mm-hmm. something like the roadie or whoever it was, I can't remember exactly who, stole his corpse and went to take it up there, like overnight or something.
Yeah, and set it on fire in the hearse. That is true. That's exactly what happened.
There's a film about that starring Johnny Knoxville as the guy who steals the corpse.
I didn't know that. Yeah, so his stepdad... Graham Parsons' stepdad wanting them buried in like New Orleans or somewhere.
Yeah.
because he would get his estate more likely if that was to happen.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to be buried there, so he's roadie nicked the body and sort of drove it to Joshua Tree and set it on fire in the coffin because they thought they were getting chased by the police, which they were.
Okay.
So, yeah, well done. You got that right. That was very good.
Well, I knew a couple of them. If you've never heard the Flying Burrito Brothers version of Wild Horses by the Stones, I recommend it. Very good.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it a listen. I don't think I've ever listened to the Flying Burrito
they're
Brothers.
Very country. They're very country, pedal steel and all of that stuff. But yeah, it's the version of that's really good. It gives the when you hear it done like that, you kind of realize that when Keith Richards must have wrote it and he was hanging out with them, that was like kind of full circle kind of thing. So yeah, very good. I was just been listening to a band that I kind of read something about yesterday. I don't know if it's a band or whatever, but they're called Celestial. And the album is called I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night. Like acoustic stuff. I would recommend it. Celestial, I think people that listen to us who like the same type of music as us would like it as well. Quite ambient and guitar, kind of ambient guitar stuff. It's good. But we have some music now, which is not ambient at all. It is proper rock and roll in that, man.
Proper rock and roll, man, this one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It certainly is, yes. It's the Superlatives.
Which sounds like a 70s Philly soul band, I think.
they do indeed. But if you were expecting that, if you were expecting a bit of soul, then you're not going
to
get it.
You'd be shook to the core.
You would. This one's called Sonna and the Supporters are a three-piece hard-hitting rock band from Leeds, which is always good, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing. Like, really good. This is a proper, like, a proper Brit pop guitar-y, just, a rockin' banger.
A rockin' banger, this like.
Let's get it on. It's loud. Turn it up. Cheers, everyone. Mm-hmm. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. And we'll speak next week. Bye-bye.
We will indeed. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.